It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 24-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back, Terry.
Thank you.
You know, there is some big news out about scoring for your mortgages that FICO is actually changing the way they calculate. And I think this is huge news. So I invite my listeners to listen carefully. What is the news, Terry?
The good news is one of the things that really messes people up are medical bills, and it's especially in Florida, we see a lot of it. The changes include reducing the total that the overdue medical bills can take on your credit scores. Mm-hmm. It really does take a big toll on your credit scores, and we see it time and time and time again. So they're going to be able to reduce what effect it has on your total score. They're also going to be removing other past penalties from consumers who have already paid off debts that have been assigned to collection agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is going to help raise your FICO score. And, you know, the question is, well, why is it that important? You know, this net effect is about 25 points, and it does make a difference. It makes a huge difference in what interest rates you're going to get when you go to try to purchase a home.
Yeah, so the higher the FICO score,
the better interest rate you get.
The better interest rate.
Not only that, it affects whether you can get the mortgage or not get the mortgage.
Yeah, it could make all the difference. You know, the one thing that was unfair about including the medical payments in the FICO score is that many people have perfect histories of paying their bills. And yet you may disagree with an insurance company. You may start a fight with an insurance company and refuse to pay the bill until it is settled. And if that shows up on your credit report, that can hurt you in other places, and that's just not fair.
Absolutely. And medical bills can be extraordinarily high, mm-hmm. and people don't necessarily budget for that type of an expense.
Right.
You know, it's certainly out of right field, especially if you've got excellent credit everywhere else. I think it does need to be taken into consideration as to what's going on with someone's personal life. But, you know, FICO scores also affect how much your insurance is going to cost you. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that as well. That is taken into consideration when they risk what your rate's going to be for insurance.
Yeah, so what they're doing is they're taking a look at who you are as a person, and they're setting other kinds of rates, like your car insurance rates and other things, based upon your FICO score. You may not even be able to get insurance because of a lower FICO score. And maybe in this particular case, that score is so low because you're fighting with the insurance company.
That's right. And to give you an example, Steve, in June, the average FICO score for a closed mortgage was 728.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drop from prior year of 742.
Okay. Well, and the range is like 300 to 850. So 728, 740 is still in a fairly decent range there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But an increase from 740, an increase of 25 points is really very considerable. That'd take you up to 765. That could mean quite a bit to what a mortgage or some other loan is going to cost you, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
All right. One of my favorite segments that I do with you is the Ask the Real Estate Pro, and I'm going to ask the question. Our lease ends soon, and I'm worried that our landlord won't return the security deposit. We have since found out that he has had several judgments against him for not returning security deposits to previous tenants. We have taken excellent care of the house. Can I use that deposit as my next to last month's rent? We already paid our last month's rent when we moved in. That's from James. What's the answer?
Yeah, you know, this is very interesting. We hear this question all the time. The simple answer is that neither you nor the landlord can use the security deposit as rent. It's supposed to be for damages. But you can if you both agree to do so.
Okay.
If you're going to agree to do so, put it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, security deposits have to be held in a separate bank account, and there are some specific rules on how it has to be distributed and how a landlord can make a claim against you. I don't know if a lot of people realize, but at the end of the lease, the deposit must be returned within 15 days unless the landlord makes a claim against you for damages, and then he or she must send you a certified letter within 30 days. And then once you get that letter, you have 15 days to object.
Mm-hmm.
And if this isn't followed, a lot of times these cases go to small claims court. So as a tenant and as a landlord, really know the rules when it comes to that security deposit. It's very important.
So the bottom line is that you're not the first person to experience this. This is something that would be endemic to the landlord leaseor arrangement. But that money should be separate. I wonder whether you should be able to see the statement in which your money is kept separate.
You know, that would be a question for a lawyer, but I do know I've went to small claims court once as a witness and witnessed this very situation. And the first question the judge asked, show me that that money was held in a separate bank account.
Yeah.
And I believe, and I might be wrong on this, but I believe it has to be non-interest bearing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
there are some very specific rules, and it probably varies from state to state. But that was the very first question that the judge asked. And he probably would have, you know, thrown the whole case out had it not been in a separate bank account.
Well, these days, it's not hard to find an account that's non-interest bearing. So I think that'd be a big problem. All right. Finally, I do want to change topics here because I just came back from vacation. And one thing that I have noticed is that there have been some noted vacation rental scams. What are they?
Yeah, you're seeing more and more of this. If you're looking for a vacation home, you really should try to use a local realtor. But we're seeing more and more people, especially when it's for like 1 week rentals where realtors are not involved in it, because basically, to be honest, there's no money involved, lots of liability involved.
Right.
But there are sites like VRBO, and what's happening is the scammers are taking advertisements from these sites and they're going to, for an example, Craigslist. They're copying the exact same thing, posting it there, but for a lesser amount of money.
Oh, boy.
So what you have to be aware of, if you're trying to rent a vacation place, get verification from others. Find out, you know, ask if you can call the last person that stayed there, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone asking you to send you money that's untraceable payments, that should be a red flag.
What if he's a Nigerian minister?
Oh, wow. Run.
Or I've lost my wallet while traveling through Belgium or something like
that. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, just be aware.
Yeah.
There's usually on those sites reviews. See how many people have sent reviews. If it smells bad and doesn't feel right, be aware. And I know people have personally been caught up in these scams.
Yeah, be careful. Use your common sense. And, you know, this VRBO, that stands for Vacation Rentals by Owner. And as you said, for short-term rentals, just go to that site, log in, and you'll know, I guess, you've got the real thing. And watch out for something that looks too good to be true.
Exactly.
Not that I've ever heard that advice ever in my whole life. Watch out for things that look too good to be true. But one thing that looks good and is true is Terry's story. So Terry, of course, is with us every single week to do our real estate roundup segment. And to find out more about Terry, you can go to terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.